In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our dear and merciful, all-knowing Heavenly Father, we wish to thank you that you have given us this day where we can still be as your children who are traveling toward heaven as one flock. We have many reasons of thanks, even in the midst of trials and sorrows. We thank you, dear Father. We especially thank you for sending your own Son, and through his works, the redemption work that was set before him, and through that we, as pardoned sinners, can yet be called your children. And for that we wish to thank you, dear Father. We also thank you for this kingdom wherein we dwell, where we as sinners, faulty people, prone to sin, we gather before your word to get refreshed again and again, to keep us on this pathway that leads to heaven. For this kingdom, dear Father, we wish to thank you that we can still be members of. As we begin these services this evening, dear Father, we pray unto you that you would remember us. Remember our lot in life, our trials and our difficulties. Comfort us and uplift us so that we would endure all the way to the end. Amen. I thought for our text this evening that I would read one verse from Corinthians, from the first epistle, or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, and from the second chapter, the first 5 verses, with that prayer that God will open his word and give us the portion that we need for this day. We read these words in Jesus' name as follows. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. I had a chance to be at speakers camp this weekend, along with the other speaker brothers from our congregation. And it is an annual meeting that we have there as speakers. And then in the fall, we have speakers and wives camp. And they are very beneficial in many different ways. And in most of the ways that it is beneficial, we may not even realize. But it is so refreshing to be there, to hear the accounts and psalms of those that are dealing with many of the same temptations and difficulties as oneself. And it was a very, very good weekend in every way. We, as children of God, even as you, if you would think of this very personally, it is easy for us to fall into sin, in many different kinds of sin. We do fall. But what a grace of grace it is that in the kingdom of God, as we mentioned in the opening prayer, there is forgiveness and mercy to the penitent sinner. And many of the in many of the discussions that we had, we referred back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God teach? What does the Word of God say? That is where you also can turn to and should turn to, that what does the Bible say when you are experiencing difficulties, or if it seems that you have come to a fork in the road, that where do I go from here? The Word of God teaches where to go and what approach to take. It does make these decisions so much easier when it is not dependent on man. And I noticed as I was at that meeting, or at that camp for those days, that many of the Bible portions that were read, they came from many different places in the Bible, but many of them came from Corinthians, which is where I also read the text for this evening. And Paul here writes to the Corinthians for this reason, that he had somehow been notified that they are experiencing some kind of difficulty within God's kingdom. And he instructs very, very lovingly those congregations there in Corinth. And he begins his instruction to them in a humble, very humble way. He says that, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Or in other words, his plea is that whatever he will say after this, that it would be according to the mind of Christ, so that it is the way the Bible teaches, that it is God's Spirit that is teaching, that this teaching is not coming from Paul, the person, but it is coming from God through the lips of Paul. And that is how the Word of God is declared today. From this place, from there at home, when you teach your children according to the Word of God, God is speaking through your lips, because the Spirit is God's Spirit that is teaching, that is guiding, and sometimes also rebuking. So Paul here, that's the most important matter, or the number one thing on his mind is that he would speak in the name of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say that much like Jesus also encourages and many times reminded the people of his time to follow his teaching and to not go elsewhere, leaning against the mind of man and false gods and so forth. And Paul here says that, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you." That is the mystery of the kingdom of God, is how the unity is tying us together into one voice. And that is something that we experienced this weekend at that camp. It was, I don't have the words to say how heartwarming it was to feel that the unity at that camp, it was complete. The Spirit was the same. And many times, you older ones, you remember a time when that was not the case. And us younger ones, a little bit younger ones, and then the very younger ones, many times we may even take that for granted. But it has not always been so. And if it isn't so, oh, how we would long for peace and for unity, that there is no strife in the kingdom of God. And we have been able to, God has given us a time of peace where we can work and not concentrate the efforts into fighting against wrong spirits. So it was, in that sense, it was such a good camp for us to be in. And God was there in spirit, that I felt. And God spoke through many brothers so preciously and so lovingly, patiently. That is the wonder, the big mystery of the kingdom of God. How we can be so united in one body. And many of the brothers, they related their stories from when they have been to foreign countries recently, to Africa and so forth, and how they felt that even though they had never seen them before, that the Spirit was the same between believers. That is, it's a great mystery. But it is so that there is one Spirit of God. When God blew into the nostrils of Adam, it was one Spirit, and it was God's Spirit. He did not blow three or four different kinds of Spirit. That's why the teaching in God's kingdom is the same. Through the brothers that come up here, the teaching is the same. And if we would go to other congregations, the teaching is still the same. So many times I have listened to sermons online from different congregations and from different countries, and my heart says, Amen. Because the Spirit that teaches is the same. It is that same Spirit that God gave to the first man on earth. And it is so that we that are in every congregation, just as it is here in our congregation in Cokato, we are different. Our personalities are different. We are different genders. We have different line of work. Our family makeups are different. We look different. We sound different. There is so much different about us. But yet, the Spirit is the same. It is not dependent on those exterior things, but it is the inner man, which the Bible also refers to, wherein the Spirit lives. That is the same. It's the same for all of us that are here. And that is, it's a gift that is so great that we cannot understand. But dear brother and dear sister, it needs to be cared for from time to time. Take care of that Spirit. It is a gift from God. It is the greatest gift a man can own. We can't possibly get any other kind of gift that is more precious than the Spirit of God. And when we are owners of this Spirit that we have been gifted with, we are on the way to heaven. And there will be a time when we will meet God. And there, even though we try as vessels of clay, we sing to God. We pray to God. We glorify God in many different ways. We cannot fully thank God here because we still carry that old portion that is prone to sin. But there will come a time, as the Bible says, where that old portion is left here. It is not coming with to heaven. And then we can fully and continuously, we can pray or we can thank and glorify God that He preserved us and that He gifted us with such a great treasure, and it has brought us to heaven, where we will be to the end of our days. But it is so that as we travel toward heaven, we do need to be corrected from time to time. We veer off either a little bit to the right, maybe sometimes to the left, maybe sometimes we leave the road completely and take a different road, and we need to be brought back to the road that leads to heaven. So we need to be reminded, rebuked, just so we can stay on this narrow way to heaven. And our flesh is not ready, is not willing to receive that instruction very easily. And that is why we time and time again we hear that we need to humble ourselves as little children and confess that we have done wrong, we have said wrong things, we have gone the wrong way. We need to humble ourselves. That is how we are acceptable in the kingdom of God. And we also spoke of the forgiveness of sins there at camp, which is a very central matter, the most central matter in our congregation of God. We depend on the forgiveness of sins, which strengthens us in faith. It is, at the end of the day, it is faith that brings us to heaven. That is what saves us from eternal destruction in hell. And that faith is strengthened time and time again when we humble ourselves and we beg for the message of the gospel. So this evening, dear brother, dear sister, I know that your will is as mine, that you want to reach the shores of heaven one day. Be strengthened in your faith, dear brother and dear sister, and believe all your sins and all your faults and shortcomings forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, all your sins are forgiven. And it is so comforting to hear when we hear the Word of God, and we need to hear it time and time again so that we don't tire on the way, that your sins are forgiven, because it strengthens our weak faith and it brings us to heaven one day. Apostle Paul here, he does speak in between these two portions that I read. He spoke of many different things to the people in Corinth. And then he wanted to remind them that these are not his words. These are the words that God gave him. And he wanted to warn them also. And I don't know if I can... He says that, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. First and foremost in his mind was love, that he would be able to speak with them with love. And then he says that, I came to you not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. So here he recognizes that he is a faulty and lacking child of God. And he says that, I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And then lastly, he reminds them, because he knows, just as God knows. And remember, it was God who was speaking to them through the clay lips of Paul. God knew that the mind of man is weak, and man is prone to sin. Man is so eager to follow somebody who is speaking so elegantly and so perfectly, and for that reason only. Paul here says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That is our duty also, brothers and sisters in faith. When we are sitting there and listening to the Word of God, that if there is something that does not sound quite right to you, or if it does not answer your spirit, we come here trembling and with much fear. Many times we don't know what words God will give us. I came to church this evening and I still didn't have a text. But I trusted that God will give a text in due time. But we do come here with so many fears and lackings. But still, it is your duty. It is everyone's duty that is a child of God and listening to the Word of God, that if something doesn't sound quite right, if your spirit does not say amen, to please talk to that brother in private at first, to make sure that that we are both on the same road that leads to heaven. It is everyone's wish that we would go to heaven. And in this way, we help one another. Sometimes we do go a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right, and we need to be corrected. And pray to God that you and also the one that is being corrected, that God humbles their heart to receive that loving rebuke from someone who is trying to help them, go reach the shores of heaven. Everyone is in need of God's love. Every child of God. And I came here with so many doubts and wondering what words God will give, if He will give any words. Can I believe my sins and so many doubts and faults forgiven? I desire to believe along with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.